we find in Shulchan Aruch that there's no Nefilas Apayim on Tu Bishvat. We're a little after Tu Bishvat. This shir is entitled Post Tu Bishvat Reflections. Ein Nefilas Apayim means there's no Tachnun on Tu Bishvat. What is Tachnun? Tachnun is a tefillah. I don't think women do it. Men, when there's a Sefer Torah where you're davening, so during this tefillah, you take the hand that doesn't have the tefillin on it, and you put the hand under your brow, and you say this tefillah, which is a very sad tefillah. So you don't do it on Tu Bishvat. Now, what is the reason that you don't do it on Tu Bishvat? So the Magen Avraham said, because it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilonos. There's a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel exactly when the Rosh Hashanah for trees is. Is it Rosh Chodesh Shvat? That's Beis Shammai's opinion. And we say that the halach is like Beis Hillel, that it's on the 15th day of Shvat. The question is, just because it's a new year for trees, why does that free me from saying this tefillah, which is called Tachnun? Nefilas Apayim is known as Tachnun. Why does that free me from saying Tachnun? Now, Tu Bishvat has to do, when we say it's a Rosh Hashanah for trees, it means that that is the day when the new energy goes into the tree, from the ground, into the fruit. We call that chanata. That's when the tree starts to blossom the fruits for the new year. And it has halachic ramifications. And that is, I mean, we're all familiar with eating fruit on Tu Bishvat. But the real essence of of this minor yontiv is that if you have fruits from before Tu Bishvat, and you have fruits from after Tu Bishvat. So, for example, Meiser, which is to give one-tenth of to the Levi, or Truma, which is you give either a 40th or a 50th of Truma to the Kohen. So you're only supposed to give each year for that year. I can't use the fruits from last year to give on this year, or from this year to give on last year. So when is this year and when is last year? The answer is when the new year takes place. So those fruits that were created before Tu Bishvat, that's last year. Those that are created after Tu Bishvat, that's from this year. So that it's a Rosh Hashanah for these new fruits. Again, the question is, so what does that have to do? Why don't I say this sad tefillah called Tachnun just because it's a new year for the fruits? So Rabbi Schlesinger brought a medrash, and it's a Targum Sheni, which says that Haman looked through every month of the year. We're almost by Rosh Chodesh Adar, and we're already starting to think about the Haman Tashin and Purim, and the reading of the Megillah. In fact, the Daf Yomi, it comes out, is learning Masechta Megillah. And on Purim, we will be, I believe it's Daf Chaf Hei, that will be covered in Masechta Megillah on Purim. So it tells us in the Medrash that Haman figured out, when's the best time that I could destroy the Jewish people? And he went through every month in the Jewish calendar year. He went through Nisan. Nisan's not good, of course, because that's when the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Iyar is not good. That's when the Mun came down. Sivan is not good. It's Matan Torah. Tammuz is not good because something bad happened there. The walls of Yerushalayim on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz were destroyed. They broke through. And two punishments don't happen in the same month. So if I'm going to be successful with punishing Klal Yisrael with Purim, I can't do it in the same month as something bad already happened. Av is not good, we could say, because of Tisha B'Av, but the Medrash says also because there something good happened. Those who died out during the 40 years of the desert, they stopped dying on Tisha B'Av. Elul is no good because Moshe went up in Elul for 40 days to bring down the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. Tishrei is not good because Klal Yisrael receives forgiveness in Tishrei through the Yom Noroim. Mar Cheshvan is no good because the Mabul came to the world and Noach and his family were saved. So there's something good in that month. That's not good for the Jewish people. To do something bad to the Jewish people. Kislev is no good because the Mishkan had the Chanukah Samishkan on Kislev. Tevis is not good because Asor B'Tevis was the siege around Yerushalayim. So, and two bad things shouldn't happen in the same month. Shvat is no good because it has in it the Rosh Hashanah of trees, and we bring from fruits of the trees Bikurim. So Haman said that's not a good month. So the only month that he figured out is good to destroy the Jewish people is Adar, and that's why he made Purim in Adar. So we see that Haman himself knew that Tu Bishvat, which is the Rosh Hashanah for trees, has some strong point in it, that because of that, the Jews will be hard to punish. So again, we have to find out what Haman knew and that we don't know. We know that you have to eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat, but what's the deeper understanding of why we eat fruit on Tu B'Shvat? There are many customs concerning eating fruit. The Magen Avraham brings down that the Ashkenazim have a minhag to eat fruit. So Rabbi Schlesinger pointed out, it doesn't mean just the Ashkenazim have and the Sfardim don't have. It means even the Ashkenazim have. The Sfardim have a bigger custom than the Ashkenazim. They have like a Seder. They have what we have on Pesach at the Seder. They have, some people have 15 fruits, and they have a whole Seder of each fruit and the significance of each fruit. The Ashkenazim, we only have, we're left with eating fruit. We don't, there's people who say a lot of different tefillos on Tu B'Shvat. We're left just with the minhag of eating fruit. But we have to understand what is that custom all about. Now, the other thing that we want to explain this year is something, a famous B'nai Yisoskar. There's a sefer written by a great Hasidic Gadol, the B'nai Yisoskar, and he says that if you look in the Mishnah, there we know there's one Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the new year, Aleph Tishrei. But the Gemara, the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, tells us that there are actually four Rosh Hashanahs. One of them is when every person in the world is judged what's going to happen to them in the next year. That's the one we're used to. And then we've been speaking about the second Rosh Hashanah of trees, and that is Tu B'Shvat. And there's a Rosh Hashanah of Elul for other things. There are four altogether. Now, when it speaks about the other Rosh Hashanahs, it speaks in the plural. For example, the first day of Tishrei is a Rosh Hashanah where all people in the world pass in front of Hashem. It says like sheep pass in front of of the master of the sheep. It speaks in the plural. Here it says it's a Rosh Hashanah, not le'ilonos, many trees, but it's a Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, to the tree. So the B'nai Yisoskar picks up on this. Why by the Rosh Hashanah for trees does it say the Rosh Hashanah for a tree? It's a Rosh Hashanah for many trees. So he answers, it must be that there's one famous tree. And you know what that famous tree is? The famous tree is the Esrog, the beautiful Esrog. Says the B'nai Yisoskar, Yesh l'remez, there's a hint, Mashikibal numer Rabbasena, what we receive from our rabbis, a tradition, Sheyispalo b'tu b'shvat al Esrog kosher yofa umahudur. That he should pray on Tu B'Shvat for a beautiful Esrog. Sheyazmin Hashem Yisborach be'esam etzdarach l'mitzvah. When I need it later, a few months later on Sukkot, I'm going to need an Esrog for the mitzvah of Sukkah, of Esrog on Sukkot. When do I pray to get a beautiful Esrog? I pray for it on Tu B'Shvat. As Reb Schlesinger pointed out, many people think all you have to do, instead of paying $100 for an Esrog, if I'll pay $300 for an Esrog, I'm guaranteed to get the most beautiful Esrog in the world. That's not true. You might pay $300 and you might get not an Esrog, as they say, you might get a lemon. You might get the one that's in fact possible. It's not even kosher. You'll open it up after, you'll cut it open, as some people do after Sukkot, and you'll see that the seeds are not in the right way they're supposed to be, and you didn't even get a kosher Esrog, even though you paid a lot of money. So how can a person be zocha, merit, to get a kosher Esrog? You have to be mispal for it already on Tu B'Shvat. So that's the Elon. That's like there's one special tree, the one that produces asroigim, that's the one that you should be mispalled for on the Rosh Hashanah of tree. That's why it says it in the singular. So the question is, in fact, Rabbi Schlesinger pointed out that the Ben Ish Chai, who was a great gadol in the city of Baghdad in Iraq, he composed a special tefillah. He must have heard that the Bnei Yisachar spoke about davening for an esrig on Tu Bishvat. He made a beautiful tefillah of what you exactly you should say on Tu Bishvat to get that esrig on Sukkot. But we have to understand what the Bnei Yisachar is saying. Because why, in fact, does the Mishnah say Elon, a tree? As we explained before, it's the Rosh Hashanah for all trees. As we said, if you give Miser, you don't give it on the fruit from last year. You only give it on the fruit from the coming year. You can't use one fruit from one year on the fruit from last year to give Miser. So that's a rule that applies not only to an Esri. It applies to a Jaffa orange as well. So why, in fact, do we speak about only the Esri? And if you are speaking about an Esrig, let's think for a moment. How is the Esrig written in the Torah? Pre-Eitz Hadar, a beautiful tree, which the Gemara figures out. It doesn't even say the word Esrig in the Torah. In fact, the Tzdukim, who criticized the Torah, and the rabbis who interpreted the Torah, they didn't even believe that pre-Eitz Hadar is an Esrig. It doesn't say Esrig. They said it's some other fruit. Does the Torah speak about the Elon, the tree, or does the Torah speak about the pre-Eitz Hadar? Chazal, for example, said Hadar means Hador. Hador means the Esrig fruit lasts on a tree for 3 years. It doesn't fall off like other fruit. Every year you get a new crop of fruit. So it's pre-Eitz Hadar means beautiful, but Hadar, Hey Dalad Reish, can also stand for Hador, that it stays on a tree from year to year. That's how they knew that it's the beautiful fruit specifically of an Esrig. There are other beautiful fruits in the world as well. That's how they figured it out. But again, the stress is not Elon. The stress is not the tree. The stress is on pre-Eitz Hadar. Yet the Bnei Yisachar put the stress on the Elon. So we have to understand that. So Rabbi Schlesinger said a beautiful pshat on what the depth of this whole, why we eat fruit on Tu Bishvat, and why we pray for an Esrig on Tu Bishvat. And he explained like this. When Hashem commanded the ground to produce trees that produce fruit, we find in the Torah that the ground did an Aveira. Because Hashem told, in Parshas Bereishis, he told the ground, I want you to produce eitz pri, osa pri l'minai. I want you to produce a fruit tree that will make a fruit. Vayehi chen, it was so, it did it. Vatotze aretz, but when the earth gave out the fruit, it says, what did it give out? Eitz osa pri. Not eitz pri, but eitz osa pri. What's the difference between eitz pri and eitz osa pri? Sounds like the same thing. So Rashi brings down, Hashem wanted that the taste of the fruit and the Elon should be identical. And the ground did not listen. The ground made a tree, which that tree made a fruit. But the taste of the tree and the taste of the fruit were not identical. If you would take an apple tree, you'll taste the apple, has one taste. You taste the tree, has a totally different taste. So therefore, Rashi says, in the name of Chazal, that the ground was punished. And the ground received its punishment when Adam sinned from the Eitz Hadas. So the ground itself received the punishment that it produces things, dvorim arurim, like zvuvim, upurushim, unamolim. It produces like flies and bugs, all kinds of different bugs. That was produced as well. This was a punishment to the ground that it didn't listen to Hashem and it didn't make a fruit have the identical same taste as the tree itself. So Rashi further in the Parsha tells us it's a mashal to someone who goes out to bad, he goes off the wrong A person becomes a drug addict, he becomes a bad person, a robber, a murderer, whatever the case may be. And what do the people say? The people said, cursed Shadayim Shiyanakman, this boy, his mother who nursed him, she should be cursed. So the same thing. Adam is from the word Adama, that from earth. So when later on, when Adam was punished, so Hashem at the same time gave a curse to the mother that nursed the child. And who is that mother? Mother Earth. So it seems a little bit of contradiction in what Rashi's saying. One Rashi seemed to say that the ground was punished because it did something wrong itself. It didn't give out Eitz Pri, it gave out Eitz Oseh Pri. The taste of the fruit and the tree were not identical. The other Rashi says that the ground was punished. Why? Because when you produce a terrible child, so people curse not only the child, they curse the mother that produced that child. So there, in the other Rashi, it seems that the mother was punished because of something that the child did wrong. And this Rashi says the mother was punished because the mother itself did something wrong. That seems to be the question. Another problem that we have to understand is when the earth gave out a tree that did not have the same taste as the fruit, it says, Vayihi chen, and it was so. What do you mean it was so? You just told me that the earth didn't listen to Hashem. So how could you say it was so? And another question, it says over there on the third day, Vayara lekim ki tov. Hashem saw everything's good. What do you mean he saw it's good? It's not good. The earth didn't listen to what I said. So the Al-Sheikh says a very nice pshat, that Rashi brings down a chazal, that all the vegetation that came out of the earth, it says, went up till the surface of the earth. But it didn't come out. When did it come out? It came out when Adam was created. Because the pasuk says, as long as there's no Adam, who's going to be makir tov, who's going to appreciate what Hashem did in this world, that he created beautiful fruits and trees and vegetation, there has to be someone to appreciate it. As long as there's no one to appreciate it, who's the one that appreciates it? That's Adam, Adam Arishan. Until Adam was created on the sixth day, the earth did not, it was up to the surface of the earth, it didn't let it out. So the Al-Sheikh says that Vayihichen, the earth made a tree that had the same taste as the fruit, but it stayed below the ground. But the pasuk says, "Vatoytze haaretz eitz oisapri." When did the change of the taste of the tree come from the fruit, where there was a different taste between the fruit and the tree? That's when Vatoytze haaretz, when the earth let out the tree, that everybody should see the tree, then the tree and the fruit did not have the same taste. When Hashem said, Vayara lekim ki tov, that was referring to when it was below the surface. But you know where the earth sinned? It sinned when it let it out. So that at least explains that we can understand how could the Torah write Vayi Chain and it was so, it wasn't so. The answer is it was so till the surface. Till the surface, the taste of the tree and the fruit were identical. Vatoytzeor, it's the pasuk says, it let it out when Adam was created, and now the earth lets the fruit, the trees out. Then it changed. The tree and the fruit did not have the same taste. But we have to understand, first of all, how could it do it, or why did it do it? Why didn't the earth listen to the commandment of Hashem? So he brought down, first, one pshat says that the earth made a cheshbon and said like this, I'm going to have to work hard enough. He brought this from the Shach, a Pirush on the Torah. I'm going to have to work very hard to produce trees that have fruit. If I'm going to have the same taste in the trees as the fruit, what will people do? When all the apples of the tree have been eaten, they'll say, oh, let's eat the tree itself. We'll take pieces of the tree itself, because that has the same taste as the, we'll make a cut into the bark, take out a piece of bark, and the bark will, the soft part of the bark, which is edible, we'll eat that, and we'll be as if we're eating a fruit. So they're going to knock down all the trees. I'm going to have to work doubly as hard to get all these trees out. I don't want to work so hard. That's why it didn't listen. That's what the Shach says. But he brought now a beautiful pshat from the Apter Rav. He was called the Oyev Yisrael. He loved every Jew in the world. No matter what state the Jew was in, the Apterov, he was the Oyev Yisrael, the great lover of every Jewish person. He wrote a sefer by that name, Oyev Yisrael. So the Apterov said a pshat that answers all the problems we have in this inyan. He said that the earth didn't listen to Hashem because it did what's called an Avera Lishma. It did an Avera with a very good intention. What was the intention of the earth? Mother Earth. Mother Earth's intention was to protect her child. Who's her child? Adam. Mother Earth knew that Adam has a tendency he could do an Avera, as a Yetzari, as Bechiri, as free choice to do an Avera. Mother Earth wanted to put into the genes of Adam, when Adam's going to be created, Mino Adama, Mother Earth wanted to give an excuse, a built-in excuse to Adam. If Adam ever does something wrong, Adam will say, don't blame me, I come from the earth. Rabbi Schlesinger said, we live in an age of genes, everything's in the genes. So a person could say, in my genes is my mother. And my mother sinned for me. You know what she did? She didn't listen to you. Right from the start, she didn't listen. So you're angry, you're upset at me that I did an Avera, I didn't listen to you. That's in my genes for my mother. So at least it's some kind of an excuse. It's not a total excuse. Hashem could still be upset. But at least it's a mitigating factor. So do you know why the earth didn't let the vegetation come out as Eitz Pri, that the taste of the fruit and the tree should be identical? Why did it make it Eitz Oise Pri? The answer is that right away, Adam should have an excuse. My mother, she also didn't listen to you. So now the two Rashis are not a contradiction. The earth got punished because it didn't listen to Hashem. But the other Rashi says it's like a person who goes off the derech and people say, cursed is the mother that nursed him. They blame it on the mother. It's not, these are not two different Rashis. This is one Rashi. They cursed the mother because that's what the mother wanted. The mother was trying to protect her child and give into the genes of Adam Arishan that I didn't listen to Hashem. So when you won't, we'll do an Avera. I'm trying to help you. Says the Apterov, that's what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, when the Jews do Averis, Hashem says, V'zacharti es brisi Yaakov, I'm going to remember my covenant with Yaakov. V'af es brisi Yitzchak Esker, I'm going to remember the covenant with Yitzchak. V'af es brisi Avram Esker, I'll remember the covenant with Avram. And a bris, the Ramban says, is without, non-conditional. Even if Chas V'Shalom, we do the worst things in the world, Hashem has a bris, he cannot destroy the Jewish people. Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Whatever we do, Hashem is bound by an unconditional covenant with us that we are the eternal people. Then it adds one thing. Besides the bris of Avram, Yitzchak, V'Yaakov, the Ha'aretz Eskar. I'm going to remember the land. What am I remembering the land? Says the Apterov, I'm going to remember, besides the bris of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, there's another thing I have to remember that will help Jews when they sin. The land. Mother Earth. She put into our genes right from the start. She didn't listen to Hashem. That's a mitigating factor. Hashem will take that in consideration, says the Apterov. But the Pasuk says, Ki savoyu la'aretz, this again is the Apterov explaining. You will come into the land, the la'asid lavoy, when Mashiach comes, and the Jews will recognize Hashem, and the Jews will want to do things the right way. V'natatem kol eitz machol, you will plant every tree of food. The simple pshat is a tree that makes food. But notice, it doesn't say here, eitz oise machol, eitz machol. The eitz itself will be edible. Because la'asid lavoy, the trees will come. The earth then, la'asid lavoy. Once the Klal Yisrael wants to follow Hashem totally, then the earth will give into the tree that the tree itself will have the same taste. And you'll be able to eat the tree itself also. So, here's what we do on Tu B'Shvat. We eat fruit. And we say on the fruit, Baruch Atah Hashem L'Kehem HaKolam, Borei Pri Ha'etz. So we thank Hashem on Tu B'Shvat that we had an earth, a mother earth, that tried to protect us and didn't listen to you. And that's a limut schus vaoretz esker. I'll remember. So borei pri ha'etz, not borei ha'etz. If the tree, if the mother earth had listened to Hashem totally, it would have been borei ha'etz. You have created the eitz. The eitz has the same taste as the fruit. But today, the fruit and the tree don't have the same. So it's only, we only eat the fruit of the tree. Borei pri ha'etz. So that's one thing. I thank my mother earth that she helped me. But you, says the B'nai Yisachar, do you know what our tefillah is, la'asid, for the future? After Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, after we have cleansed ourselves, and we are able to look at things without our averas, without the Yetzer Hara, by Tu B'Shvat, you know what we're praying for? We're hoping for the day where Eitz Machol, where we'll be able to eat the tree itself, where we'll be able to say Borei Ha'etz, not Pri Ha'etz. And that's why it says Elon. It's a Rosh Hashanah for Elon. Because it's not the ground into the Elon, up to the fruit, and the Elon then is only a what? This, the Malbim says. The Elon is a conduit. The Elon is bringing the life force of the fruit, the sweetness. Where's the sweetness coming from? It's not coming right now, Bismanazet, it's not coming from the tree. The tree has a terrible taste. It's coming from the earth through the tree. The sap of the tree brings the sweetness into the fruit. So it's from the ground, through the conduit, through a tube of the Elon, into the fruit. But La'asid Lavoi, it's going to be the tree itself that is going to have that taste. So I am being mispalel that I should have a beautiful esrig on Sukkis. Why? Because what's the esrig? Esrig is this, the one point that I failed to mention so far. There's one fruit in the world that has the same taste as the tree, and that is the esrig tree. The esrig tree is the only fruit that stayed and has the tom of the eitz and the tom of the pri are identical. In fact, the Meforshim explained that that was that was how the Nachash got Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Because according to one opinion, you know what the Eitz Hadas was? It was an esrig tree. So said the Nachash to Chava, she says, the Nachash says, Vatikach mi piriyah v'tarcho, she took from the fruit, says the Chasam Sofer, that the Nachash tricked the Chava. How did he trick her? He said, you know what Hashem said to you? Me'eitz Hadas. Hashem said, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas. But he didn't say, don't eat from the pre, because that's how we know it was an esrig tree. All the other trees, the fruit and the tree did not have the same taste. But the esrig, the fruit and the tree do. So the Nachash was saying, if the fruit and the, if all the fruit and the trees had the same taste, so then when he told you not to eat, he meant the fruit. But here, the fruit and the eitz do have the same taste. So when Hashem told you don't eat from the eitz, he meant don't eat from the tree. But the fruit you could eat. So it says, Vatero Isha Kinechmad Ha'etz Lamachol. She saw that by the esrig, the tree itself was delicious. Vatikach mi piria. She took from the fruit. She was caught up with the lie, the deception of the Nachash. The Nachash tricked her. The Nachash said, since this is a tree which the taste of the fruit and the tree are identical, when Hashem prohibited it, he only prohibited the tree. He didn't prohibit you to eat the fruit. So she ate the fruit and she did the avera of eating from the, he was wrong. Hashem did say not from the fruit, but he was able to trick her in this way. So now, the idea is that on every Tu B'Shvat, we do two things. We eat fruit, that's to thank Hashem that there is a ground, Mother Earth, that did not listen to Hashem, as we've explained. And then we tell us, well, what's our hope? Our hope is that for the future, that we will live to see the day where the Elon, the importance, that's why the B'nai Yisachar saw the importance in the word Elon. The Elon itself will have a taste. And that's, why is it a pre-Eitz Hadar to Esrog? Because it's on a tree where the tree itself is giving the sweetness into the fruit. And the Chasam Sofer says a beautiful pshat. The Chasam Sofer says that what's the lesson for us? The lesson for us is that we have actions. What are our actions? That's our fruit. And many times, the fruit of our actions are not identical to what we are inside. We're not toichai kebaroi. Our inside is not like our outside. Our heart is not like our speech. We say one thing and we act one way, but we act maybe because we want to impress other people. It's not really what we are. So our hope is that we come to the level of the Esrig, that our piv v'liboy shoven, that our mouth and our heart will be identical, that our body will not just be a, like the Malbim explained, that our body will be a conduit, a pipe through which it goes into the fruit, but rather the pipe itself will be the fruit. Our essence, our inside, our pnimius will be like our chitzonius. Our inside will be like our outside. Our fruit of our actions will come from a tree, from our essence, which is also dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that on the one hand, we thank Mother Earth for protecting us. V'ho'oretz eskar. I'll remember, Hashem says, how Mother Earth protected you. But on the other hand, our hope is that one day we won't need that protection. And one day we'll be able to lead the lives of an esrig where our toichai will be kibaroi, where our inside will reflect what we do on the outside. May that day come, b'meher v'yameinu, amen. I just wanted to add that this will explain the questions that we began with at the beginning of this year, why there is no nefilas apayim, no tachnun said on Tu B'Av. And the answer, based on our entire shir, is pretty self-evident, and that is that Nefilas Apayim, today we do it, as we've explained at the beginning of the shir, that we put our brow on top of our arm, but in the olden days, the way it was actually done was a type of bowing down to the ground. And in fact, after the Egel, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down after the Maisa HaEgel. And the Meforshim explained, why did Moshe bow down to the ground? Because V'ho'aretz Eskar, he was trying to evoke the zechus that comes, the excuse that Mother Earth has given us, that she also did not listen to the Ribbono Shel'Olam originally. So Moshe Rabbeinu bowed down to the ground to evoke that zechus of V'ho'aretz Eskar, that amasla, that excuse for Klal Yisrael, that it's in our genes from Mother Earth that we didn't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On Tu B'Av, we are trying to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in the future we hope that we will come to the Madrega of the Esrog tree, where the Pri and the Eitz do have the same taste, where in the case of the Esrog tree the land did follow the instructions of the Ribbono Shel Olam that it should be not a pri, not an eitz osepri, but it should be an eitz pri, tam eitz upirye shoven, that it should have the exact same taste. So therefore, Tu B'Av, which is the Rosh Hashanah, for the Elon, as the B'nai Yisrael tells us, the Elon is the Esrog tree, that is the appropriate day where we do not do Nefilas Apayim. We do not bow down to the earth, so to speak, to give that amasla, that excuse of Mother Earth, that she didn't listen to Hashem originally and we, her children, are not listening to Hashem. There will come a day, which is personified by Tu B'Av, where we will be like the Esrig, that we will always listen to Hashem, and therefore we will not have to come and rely on Mother Earth. Therefore, there is no Nefilas Apayim, there is no Tachnun on the Rosh Hashanah of Ilanos, the Rosh Hashanah of the Ilan tree, which refers to the Esrog. And this power that lay in the day of Tu B'Av is what Haman or Rasha knew, and therefore Haman decided that Tu B'Shvat, I may have said Tu B'Av by accident, I meant to say Tu B'Shvat, Tu B'Shvat is in fact the correct yontiv where Haman should stay away from. That's a powerful yontiv for Klal Yisrael, and I better look for another month And he finally settled on Ador, because in Ador he did not find anything that would save Klal Yisrael, that he thought would be the appropriate month to destroy Klal Yisrael. But the Ribbono Shel Olam helped that Haman's evil ideas against us to destroy us were not finalized. In Tu Bishvat, Haman knew he stood no chance to begin with.